give Him praise, give Him glory, and give Him honor. Whoops. My pages keep slipping away. At least it's not the opening scripture. I still have that. I have a praise report concerning the worship hall in India that I talked about last week and the week before. And we've put a little box in the back with one of these graphs, and I want you to notice that last week there wasn't anything, and look what we have this week. It is $2,255 in 1 week. And so that's going to pay for all of the carpentry, the electrician, the plumber, all of that stuff to finish the building, and plus $500 towards the cost of leveling the land so they can get the banana and the coconut trees growing. So that's exciting. So we're going to just keep it going, and we're not the only ones that are participating in this. Once the word was out, a lot of people wanted to be involved because many can relate to not having a place to gather together to worship. And now our beloveds in India, this will be the greatest Christmas present to them as a gift that they could have. So we're doing good, and we'll just leave the box back there, and we'll just continue to do it until we've done what we can do, and whatever there is, that's what there is. And thank you, all of you, either for your prayers or participating or giving to this. This is a wonderful testimony of how quickly this came together. The ink wasn't even hardly dry on this paper, and people's hearts are already rising to the occasion, as all of you always do. But it's nice when it gets bigger than us. That's really good. When we know that we can't do it all, but we just do what we can. So thank you. Well, I thought yesterday I just didn't know why the scripture for an opening scripture would be for today, or for any day to a born-again believer, because it's Psalm 10 in verse 1. And I looked at it in the context of a lot of David's writings, and one thing that was prevalent is I noticed that in one verse or one psalm, he could be praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, and then in the next, where'd you go, God? Kind of like but he also knew that in the old covenant the Holy Spirit would come upon a person and anoint them for service, and then when that was accomplished, the Spirit would just leave. And so we have to distinguish that. If you spend a lot of time reading the Old Testament, you have to remember that about the Holy Spirit. The people weren't born again. They couldn't be. It wasn't the time. It wasn't the season. And not to try to make that fit with something that doesn't fit. Jesus talked about the wineskin and you have to have a new wineskin for the wine because the old one will break. And he was referring to the old covenant and the new. And you can't make one fit into the other. The Old Testament is a mirror of that which was to come. And there are patterns that you can glean out of that so that you recognize the new covenant and the difference. You can't go back to the old in the sense of that's not going to save us. Because the scribes and Pharisees did that. Jesus said, you search the scriptures and you think that you're saved because you read. But Jesus said, but salvation is not there. The salvation you're going to find is in the scriptures that testify of me, himself. So he made that very clear. But this scripture, why stand thou afar off, O Lord? Why hide yourself in times of trouble? Now, if a person is not of the mindset that Christian life, there's never any troubles, there's never any problems, There's never anything to overcome. There are no difficulties. Boy, I sure hope that you didn't pick that up here, because we need to rip it out if you did. Every person in here has had battles and experiences in our lives that if it were not for the foundation of our faith in Christ, we would have been greatly shattered and broken and so discouraged and thinking that, well, where's the Lord? And sometimes I get asked those kind of questions, sometimes at Bible study, sometimes a phone call. And what I've noticed is that when we come to that place where we think, well, I guess God doesn't care about me. He didn't intervene. There was no evidence that I could see that he's near me, he's with me. When a person gets into that mindset, that's the problem, it's a mindset. And it's the enemy putting discouraging thoughts into your mind, and you really need to pull those thoughts down in Jesus' name. You have to cast them down, as the word says. God didn't go anywhere. See, to the born-again believer, the Holy Spirit has come and he dwells in us. He doesn't come and go like he did with David and like the other Old Testament people that were anointed of the Spirit. The Spirit would come and go, but in the New Testament, Jesus said, he assured us in the Gospel of John that the Comforter, when he comes, that he will abide with us forever. And he really spoke that very clearly, because he didn't want people to think, well, now you see me, now you don't, in 3 more days I'm checking out and that's the end of it, you're going to have to flounder on your own. I'm going to the cross and then I'm going to heaven and that's the end of it. You're stuck, you're on your own. But he said, no, that's not the end. It's necessary, because if I don't go to the cross, the Holy Spirit will not come and dwell in you. It's needful for me to do the cross, and then the Holy Spirit will come and take up residence within you that believe. And so it can seem like, if you go by your feelings, if you go by your natural understanding, if you go by your reasoning, if you go by what you see with your natural eyes, if you go by what you hear with your natural ears, all of the 5 physical senses, it's very difficult to have any awareness of God's presence at all. Because he's like the atmosphere. You can't see it, but if you don't have it, it won't be long. You need it. But to know by faith in what the Word of God says, that he's our Comforter. And he doesn't come and go. He moved in, because now you are the temple not made with hands. The blood of Christ made you a holy dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And he does not come and go. He's with you, as Jesus said, forever. So, another level of this, imagine now the church, the body of Christ, representing the kingdom of heaven, representing Christ himself. And in all your testimonies today, this theme was underlying all of it. The world is looking for the Messiah. They just look in a lot of strange places like we did too, but when we were lost, didn't know where to look. For all I knew, God was some cosmic cowboy in a spaceship someplace cruising through the universe. I just had random weird thoughts about who he was like that. So people, we talked about this last week. This is a very difficult several weeks for a lot of people, particularly the unsaved, and particularly the lonely and the alone. And so without Christ, they don't have something to hold them in the storms of life. It's like the two foundations Jesus talked about. The wise and the foolish, they both heard the word. One didn't do anything with it, and the other applied it. And when the storms of life came and beat upon that person, one stood and one fell. What made the difference? The difference was, it wasn't the word, because they both heard the word. One applied it and the other one rejected it. So when you look at why do you hide yourself in times of trouble, it's not that he's hidden. It's just that you can't see him with your natural eyes. And not only that, but think about people in our community who thinks that no one cares about them, no one responds. When Brian talked about the dinner for Chester's seniors at the high school, the community does care. In fact, there's an organization in Chester called Community Cares, isn't there, Karen? And so there's a representation of Christ in the town, but also each believer. So oftentimes people could get into that, why do you hide yourself when I'm in trouble? Well, because maybe we don't make ourselves known enough in right ways so that they won't have to hunt anymore. They won't have to look, and they won't have to think that God's not present, that God's not going to be there. And I think of the man at the bowling alley that's Friday. He had a cancerous tumor removed from his spine. And I bowled with him on Wednesday, and he said, I'm very fearful of that. I'm very afraid. So Thursday, I asked him, I said, I would like to pray for you that you don't have to be in fear, that you're going to be all right. This thing is going to be taken care of. And he tells me I bowl like a Democrat, so I don't know. I don't know if I should pray like one or not, but I did. but I didn't. And there's just another level that I began to see when people think that God is not present, because the church sometimes seems to be absent in the affairs within a community. And I liked what you said yesterday about how that may be the only church in the community, but it's the one that matters. It's the one that matters. And about relationships and developing relationships within our community with the saved as well as the unsaved, so that people don't get into this mindset that when you go through times of trouble, that God doesn't care, or he's not present, or he's standing far off. We should not be afraid to get our hands dirty, if you will. I don't think it's going to affect your anointing if you lay hands on somebody that's not saved and pray for them. I think the Holy Spirit is very capable of protecting you from a Klingon. You know, the Star Trek fans and the Enterprise, the Klingons were the names of the, and they activated the force field around the Enterprise that protected them from the Klingons, and we have the shield of faith that's able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's kind of a strange way of presenting this, but people need to see that God is present, and they can see through your love, your care, your giving, you're showing compassion, you're showing mercy, but unless the Holy Spirit reveals that to them, at least they see the fruit of a Jesus-filled life. So there's kind of like two levels that I see here. David, one verse he's talking like this, and then a few verses later, oh, he's praising and worshiping the Lord. And I find sometimes that's easy to do too. We can praise him 1 minute and not so great the next minute. But he never does leave. And that's the one sure thing that I know that the Lord would have us to realize, is to see the difference. That was David. This is now. And the Holy Spirit does not leave. He's taken up residence within each of us, and each one of us takes him everywhere we go. And he bears witness to everything we say and everything we do, because he lives within us. and also about communion this morning. I promised you last week that I was going to ask you again. Last week I asked you in advance a week if any of you be thinking about if there's a particular verse that's most meaningful to you when you associate it with communion, that after Huggy Break and after the praise and worship and we come back to communion, please be thinking about that. And you know, you don't have to be shy here. Some of you that were not here last week, that invitation was given. And because communion is coming in union not only with Christ, but coming in union, coming together one with one another, with each other as a body, it's so nice when more than one contributes. See, I always know that I don't ever have it all when I come here. There's always more. So today you're going to have the opportunity to be the more, because I only brought one scripture for communion in faith, believing that you're going to have the rest of them. Oh, you can rejoice. This is a good place.
Brother Rick, I was just telling Brad, I said, my singing teacher would be very proud of me this morning.
Which one?
Oh. The one that hated me.
Oh. That's the best one. Thank you, Lord. As you prepare to share with communion today, I would ask, because this is also recorded for the church website and CDs are made of the services as well, as far as I know, for people that want them. Would any of you feel slighted to the scripture that you have to share? Would you overcome mic fright so that people that don't attend here could hear your words about communion? Is there anyone that would bother? Because we'll set one up so that when you come up and share, or share from where you are, but at least people need to hear. So I'm not going to dilly-dally around. I'm just going to say whichever one of you would like to be first, since some of you came prepared from last week. And then I'll share mine for last, time permitting. If not, whatever we have, we have. Yes, Lorraine?
I've got one.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Oh, you may. Yep. Good. Thank you.
All right. Wow. Glasses already. Okay. All right. This is when before Jesus went to the cross. He was in the garden, and where do I want to start? As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, and they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me.
Thank you, Lorraine. That was John chapter 17, yes. Verses 17 through 23, for those of you that might want to make a note of that, or for those that may be hearing it, Faith, come up, please.
It's here so I can look at it. communion verse is John chapter 6, starting with verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And the reason I like that, it kind of speaks to me in a way that, you know, the children, it talks about in Exodus how the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years. And it physically sustained them for all that time. And every day, God sent this down from heaven. Each and every day, and they couldn't keep it, they couldn't store it or anything, but every day it came down from God, down from heaven for them to sustain them physically. And Jesus gives us life eternal. He's our spiritual bread, which also is from God and came down from heaven to sustain us physically, I mean spiritually. And it was kind of like the first 27 years of my life, I was eating the manna that would eventually, you know, I would have died if I'd have died and gone to hell, you know, in that time. But then I got saved, and through Jesus, the bread of life, I'm now going to live with Him forever. You know? Yeah. And on that note, I have a little commentary regarding this bread of life. Everybody's thinking about Christmas right now. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the name Bethlehem means house of bread, probably commemorating the reputation of the entire region as a grain-producing center in Old Testament times. How appropriate that Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, was born in a town with such a name.
Thank you. Charlena?
I got this from one of my devotionals, just happened to get it lately, so I liked it. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's in 1 John 1:7. And the title of it's The Blessings of Jesus' Blood. Blood is one element that reaches every part of the body. Its precious cargo of oxygen and nutrients carries life, energy, nourishment, and healing. The white cells function like paramedics, cleansing wounds and healing disease. They serve as a militia, fighting off potential attackers. There's a spiritual lesson here. We each need the life-giving blood of Jesus to cleanse us, protect us, and sustain us. And we need it every day. The Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That means as you continue to walk with Jesus, His blood continues to cleanse you from all your sin. Ask any doctor, blood determines who a child's real father is, and the blood of Jesus proves you are God's redeemed child. Otherwise, you're just a fake heir trying to receive promises reserved for members of the family. Every one of our Heavenly Father's blessings flows to His children through the blood. It's what enables each of us to stand before Him, righteous and qualified to receive His blessings. Thank God for the emphasis on the Holy Spirit today. But unless we understand that God accepts us because He sees us through the blood, we'll be empowered but insecure. using our spiritual gifts but living under needless condemnation. Counselor, tell your hurting clients that by the power of Jesus' blood, they can tear down every stronghold in their family and break every chain that links them to the past. Take a moment today to thank God for the blessings of Jesus' blood.
Amen.
Thank you. My scripture basically was, Jesus said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. So, now is often.